I have gone from telling people how to get something to trying to teach people now how to be something. And being is the essence of what I'm trying to be it. Whatever it is, you must be health. You must not be trying to get it from pills or a doctor. You must be it. You must think it, live it, and be it. The great tape that I was talking about was Earl Nightingale's. It's called The Strangest Secret. It's the most popular cassette tape ever made. Earl Nightingale's tape goes like this. He said, the strangest secret is that human beings become whatever it is they visualize themselves to be. That if you were to take 100 people, say 100 people off the street, and just at age 25, and follow them for 40 years, you will find at the age of 65 that three of those people will be independently wealthy. Three. 42 of them will have done all right, but will still need some financial help in order to get through their days, the rest of their lives. And 55 of them will be broke. 55 people out of 100 are going to be broke. And 42 are not going to have enough money to get through without help from someone. And three are going to be independent financially. Why? That was the question he postulated. Why? And I ask you, why do you think that's true? Because people see themselves in a certain way. And they think about the way that they see themselves all day long. At Macy's, the great big department store in New York, had a program where they were promoting people to management, but they were taking people from outside of the company. And the unions all got together and they said, this is unfair, and how dare you do this, and we think you should promote from within. They said, okay, we will. And they put together, they said, here's what we'll do. We're going to offer a management training program, and we're going to give credit for it. And you have to stay 2 days a week, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock, and go through this management training. We're going to give it to you free as part of the benefit, because we want to promote from within. That's something we want to do. And the unions thought that was great, and everybody was real pleased about that. So they had their sign-ups and all of that. Now, let me ask you, what percentage of people that worked for Macy's, do you think we're willing to stay from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock, 2 days a week, to learn management principles and to learn management training and to become trained free and get college credit for it in order to move on up into the management circle and to improve themselves and to make more money and do the things that they want to do? What percentage do you think volunteered to do that? 3 out of every 100 people took them up on it. 97 said, wait a minute, what the hell are you doing? You want me to stay after, you know, 2 hours sitting there listening to this junk? You must be crazy. I don't want to do that. I got stuff to do. You know, I got to go home and drink beer or whatever it is they've got to do. 3, the same 3. You see, there's a lot of people who want to get 100% out and put in 1 or 2%. And they want to do that over and over again. And you see examples of it everywhere. Now, the great secret, the strangest secret, we become what we think about all day long. The question is, what do you think about all day long? Now, I'm not about whether you walk around saying, hey, I'm terrific and I'm going to do great things and that's it. This is not it at all. Creative visualization is having, understanding first how you think. You think in pictures. Do you know that? We think as humans in pictures. We don't think in words. If I say garbage can, you don't think G-A-R, there's a B in there, there's an A-G-E, C-A-N, a can. And you don't think like that. You see a picture of a garbage can. If I say microphone, you picture a microphone. If I say beautiful person, whatever, you have a picture. All of our thinking is done in pictures. The greatest contribution that psychologists have made in this century, and there haven't been many, all right? The great contribution is we have discovered that an image gets stored away in you, whatever you is, whoever you are, gets stored away within you exactly the same as an experience, as doing something. That your subconscious, whatever that is, wherever that is, it's like a robot. It's like a dumb, stupid robot. It just stores things away, and they stay there forever. forever. My grandmother was 95. She died last April 15. She was almost 96 years old. And in the last couple of years of her life, she started talking about things that happened in 1891. And it was a Tuesday, she said, and it was the 13th of April. It was a Tuesday, and my girlfriend Gladys, she came over, and I said, "Grandma, how do you know a Tuesday in April the 13th in 1891? It was there. We looked up. We went back and looked through all the calendar, and there she was. Right, Tuesday on the 13th. You know, it was there. Everything that happens to you is stored away. Your brain has trillions of cells. Not millions, not billions. Trillions of cells. It is capable of things that are just so phenomenal as far as healing, as far as health goes, as far as success goes, and it all depends on how you see yourself. Now, you get trained as a young person not to see yourself as a very competent human being, especially you women. Most of you were trained not to think of yourselves as equal with men or better. When you were little girls, many of you were taught that in order to be athletic, that's not feminine and that's not appropriate and you don't do that, and so you have a lot of these sentences. And I ask you about these sentences that you use in your mind. The I'ms. I'm nervous. I'm shy. I'm not very good at mathematics. I'm not a good cook. I'm clumsy. You figure out the I'm. Now, every I'm that you have, a lot of that was encouraged because you weren't encouraged to take risks. And you must take risks if you want to be successful in life. You must take risks. When you're a child, I've heard parents say, "Don't you go near that water until you know how to swim." And I think, there's something missing in that logic there somewhere. And so you train yourself when you're young because you believe that stuff. Not that it's anybody else's fault. You believe it. You believed it. You didn't have to. Now you've got to take responsibility for buying it. And if it doesn't apply anymore, sell it. And if nobody wants to buy it, then just give it away. Get rid of it. All right? And change the images. Now, what kind of images do you have? Here we are. We're going on a trip. And here's the car. And here's the trunk. Okay, now we're getting all ready and we put all the suitcases in the suitcase. I mean, clearly it says in the car manual how many suitcases this trunk holds. 5 suitcases. It says that. You got 6 suitcases sitting right there in the ground. Now, how do you visualize it? Who are you? What kind of a thinker are you? Do you know that most people, all of the 55 who are going to be broke, most of the 42 who are going to need help, are going to say, "You can't get those suitcases in that trunk." Now, when you have that kind of a picture that it can't be done, do you know how that gets stored away in terms of the action that you take on it? You say, "We're just going to have to repack them," or "We're going to have to put one in the back seat," and that's it. We can't be done. There's 3 or 4 of those who say, "Now there's a challenge. I know it can be done." And you know there are people like that. "Those suitcases are going to get in the trunk. I know it." And they start maneuvering this, and they put it over there, and if I did this, and they see it happening. What kind of visions do you have? Who are you? I coached basketball for a couple of years back in Detroit. And I had read this study about visualizing and teaching people how to shoot free throws. All right? They took 100 people over here, and they just took them into the gym, and they said, "Shoot 100 free throws." And they shot, and they said, "Okay, go back and come back in a month, and we're going to test you again." Then they took another group, and they had them practice for 2 hours a day, shooting free throws, all right? Just practice over and over again. Then they took another group of people, and they taught them how to use visualization in shooting free throws. They had them close their eyes at the line, and they had them bounce and hold the ball. Now, this is without a ball, all right? We took these young men and trained them how to shoot free throws in bed and how to get into bed at night and to close their eyes and to hold the ball in their hand and to actually see the ball and to feel it and to shoot it and to put the arc on it right and to visualize it going through the hoop and to see it. Not to see it bouncing off the rim and saying, "I can't do this," but to practice this and doing that for 2 hours a day, literally seeing it happen. Then they retested all 3 groups and they found that the people who didn't practice or didn't do anything deteriorated. Their skills went down. The people who practiced every day improved like 23-24%. The people who visualized also improved 23-24%. And the people who did it together, practice with the visualization, could improve as much as 40%. I'm not standing up here in front of all of you people saying that all you have to do is put a different picture in your head and your life is going to turn around. I am saying, and get this, I am saying that you must start first with the kinds of pictures that you have. And then they will get stored away in you as reality. And when that reality gets stored away in you, you will start acting on that reality rather than on another reality. Now, the reality that many of you operate on is this. It's the cold season. There's a flu going around. 44 states have got it. You have fever and you get coughing and you're going to be tied up for 2 or 3 weeks and you're going to have to go to a doctor and you're going to get it because it's going around. And you expect it, and you warn your children about it, and you tell them, see, I learned from Mrs. Scarf, because she was weird. She was wonderful. She was very influential, but she was weird. She used to tell the kids, don't walk across the linoleum, because if you do, you'll catch a cold if you don't have any socks on in the orphanage. And I used to get down and look. I did. I was only a little kid. I'd get down, and I'd look, and I'd say, where the hell are those bugs? You know, she talked about that. There's none in that linoleum. And I'd go around to all the kids in the orphanage and say, that's not true. There's no bug. What happens? Do they go up through your feet and they land in your nose? I said, how does that happen? I said, she's just kidding you. It's a test. And they thought I was really strange. And she would say, like, if you leave the window open and you get a draft, you're going to catch a cold. And every time she told a kid that, I noticed that they had a cold the next day. Because I always wanted the window open, you know, and there were about 9 of us sleeping in there. I never got a cold because I didn't believe that. I didn't believe you could get a cold from a draft when we were out playing hockey all day long in 40 degrees below weather. And then suddenly a little breeze is going. If you see it happening, if you believe it, then it's going to happen. You see, with visualization goes expectations. With expectation go the choices that you make. And it starts with the kind of pictures that you have. Now, if you are in business and you're selling real estate, and you visualize that things aren't going to work out, and you tell yourself, I'm not going to close this deal, I never have before. This person is just using me. I know that I'm going to show them 14 pieces of property, and they're not interested in anything anyway. I can see that these people don't really care about me, and it isn't going to work for me. If you think that way, you store that away, and that gets stored away inside of you exactly the same as if you'd have gone up to them and said, I know you're not going to buy this damn place anyway, and blah, 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 and you had been real abusive. And it gets stored away the same way inside of you. Then what happens is you start acting out on those images. What you have to do, my friends, and I'm going to show you how to do it in a few minutes. I'm going to not just talk, I'm going to do it, all right? We're going to do it right here.
There's a country song about that. Looking for love in all the wrong places. You heard that. Bam, 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 bam.
If you go to a singles bar, you're going to go home with a jerk. If you're looking for love. If you are love and you live love and you send it out, there'll be so much love in your life you won't know what to do with it. It's just a simple karmic principle. When you begin to see that all the things happening are the result of what you are doing, what you are creating, that you are a creator of yourself, then you see all of that stuff shifting around. Now, how do you visualize yourself with your health? Here's how most people do it. All right, here's my brother, I got to tell you. He called me up long distance. He said, Wayne, he said, I got a cold. It's Monday. He said, it's in my nose. I said, yeah, that's great. Long distance, huh? Yeah, long distance. He said, but by tomorrow, it'll be down in my throat. Long distance. He's telling me this. Huh? He said, by Wednesday, it'll be in my chest. It always goes that way. He said, Thursday, I'll have a fever, and I'll probably have to take Friday off. Here's a guy with a sniffle on Monday morning taking Friday off. Why is he doing that? And I tell him, look, Jim, hold it right there. Hold it right there. What I want you to do is try to visualize how little I care. It's really important. Now, that's not a kind thing to say. You might think so. But he's got to know. When you expect things to get worse and you picture it getting worse, you start acting on it getting worse. And you're going around looking for your cold to get worse. Never tell your children that their colds are going to get worse. Never tell your children they're going to have a fever and it's going to last. Never tell them that they're sick. Always tell them it's a mistake.
You can do something about this. You can correct this. When Tracy used to come down to visit me up from Michigan, and she come down and she supposedly had allergies when she was 9 or 10 or 11. I don't know when it was. Her mother had decided she had allergies. And she had allergy medicine. She'd bring it down, and she'd say, Mom says I have to take this every day. I said, terrific. You know, here it is in the medicine cabinet. I don't want any part of it, okay? I don't want it near me. I don't like that stuff, you know? It might jump out and give me one of your damn allergies. Before you know it, I'll have that stupid stuff. And so she would get so involved in what she was doing all summer in Florida and playing. And by the end of the time it was go back in September, here was this whole bottle of allergy medicine. I said, what the hell are we going to do with it? We'd pour it down the toilet, leave about this much left. We did studies on allergies. They have found that nobody in the world has allergies when they're making love. I mean, think about this, you know? Yeah.
Come here, honey. I got something for you.
Say, get away from me. You think you're touching me with those Snoopies coming out of your nose? Forget it. It's gone. It's gone. It's just gone. I don't know what happened. Amazing. It's amazing. Pollen must have just blown away. You can know you got a southerly wind that blew it right away. And then it's hours of wailing away, having a wonderful time. Then when it's over, it's, oh, that stuff is back, you know. It all depends on the way that you think.